The Division of the Public Service Commission, known as the Wisconsin Broadband Office, plans to have internet access to all state residents by 2025. According to Broadband Now, a website that measures the availability of high-speed internet, Wisconsin is the 36th most connected state with 87% coverage. Republican State Senator Patrick Teston told WPR's regional show The West Side that getting to 100% in less than 6 years will be tough.
It's a lofty goal, and one, if we can hit it, that would be fantastic. I think it sends a strong message that, you know, this is an issue that has bipartisan support that we can all get on board with and ensure that we can connect every corner of the state.
That's mostly a rural story, and it's mostly about access. But our next guest says the biggest hurdle to getting everyone online isn't so much a lack of access, but convincing those who are offline to join the digital age, and that it's mainly an urban problem. Larry Downs is a project director at the Georgetown Center for Business and Public Policy and the co-author of the new book, Pivot to the Future, Discovering Value and Creating Growth in a Disrupted World. He co-wrote a piece on the digital divide in the Washington Post. Larry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, we've talked a lot about rural broadband access here on this show. You're pointing toward an exactly opposite problem when it comes to people being connected to the internet. What's going on out there?
Well, there certainly is a rural access problem. It's gotten much smaller, and it'll continue to get smaller. But I think our concern is that the focus on rural and the focus on access takes away from the issue of urban connectivity, where the problem isn't so much access, it's not even affordability, it's making sure that people understand the relevance of connecting to the internet in the first place.
So in urban areas, do I have this right? People potentially have the access if they want it, probably they can afford it, or there's some support to help them do that, and they don't for whatever reason. Is that right?
That's right. And for whatever reason, which is that they don't think it's relevant or important in their lives. Not surprisingly, the groups that are most likely to not be connected at home, and particularly we're talking about home connection rather than mobile connections, but the people that are least likely to be connected at home are people who are either poorer or older or less educated. That's the real digital divide. And for a lot of reasons, those three demographics, which are much more common in urban than rural areas, don't see the relevance of being part of the internet society.
Well, there are probably people out there listening right now who aren't connected and thinking, yeah, that's fine. I'm happy with it that way. Some people are connected, might think that sounds kind of nice. What's the case that that should be made, you think, to people about why it's relevant to be connected?
Well, we think that a lot of the folks who aren't connected, as I said, they're generally older, they're poorer, and they're less educated, that there's actually a lot of value for them in the internet that they don't really appreciate. So, for example, older Americans, increasingly, you know, the idea of aging in place, that is staying in the home, will be a function of technology, of coming technologies in the Internet of Things and others, but also of connectivity to be able to connect to health services, to continuing education and so on. And if older Americans don't really understand that technology is available, well, then they may not appreciate the relevance to their lives of having it.
Talking to Larry Downs from the Georgetown Center for Business and Public Policy about a digital divide that shows itself mostly in urban areas in the United States where people have access to high-speed internet but choose not to connect to it. Larry, let's talk about some of the specifics that you brought up in your piece. Parents, low-income parents, I think a lot of people see more and more you want to keep tabs on your kids' homework, talk to your kids' teachers, sign them up for stuff. It almost all happens online these days. Is that one of the areas of concern you have?
Yeah, it sure does. And it is one of the areas of chief concern. Obviously, education, not just for young kids, but also for adults, people looking for jobs. The education opportunities, employment opportunities, increasingly everything is, as you say, online. Kids get that, and of course they'll all have their cell phones and smartphone connections, but we don't really think that's the best way to do homework for a lot of reasons. We think a home connection is much better, and obviously if the parents don't appreciate that, they may be, you know, missing out on opportunities for their kids that they probably wouldn't want to if they understood just how valuable it is.
Yeah, I've heard stories in communities where after libraries close, people park in the parking lot to be able to use the internet access so their kids can do the homework.
Yes, there are stories like that. As I say, increasingly, mobile connections that people pay for are there, but sometimes they have limits on how much data you're allowed to use in a certain month. And they're not as fast, although they're both of those things are improving in a sense that it may be that that wireless opportunities may solve a lot of these remaining problems of access and affordability, but they still don't solve the relevance problem.
And you mentioned that often it's lower income people or seniors. And in your piece, you mentioned these might be people who are dependent maybe on some kind of a government assistance or rely on some kind of government information. How big an obstacle is that if they're not online?
Yeah, it's a huge obstacle. And if you sort of want to be, you know, a selfish taxpayer and you're saying, well, what do I care if some people don't want to be on the Internet? Well, the fact of the matter is that, as we say, a lot of the people who aren't online are heavy users of government services. Those services can be delivered much more efficiently, much more effectively online. But if the seniors and the rural folks and the poorer folks and less educated folks aren't connected to the Internet, they're going to continue to, you know, stand in line at the DMV or at other government service offices. That's not good for them. But as taxpayers, it's not really that good for us either.
When we hear about lack of access to broadband in rural areas, people talk about it as an obstacle to things like entrepreneurship, to economic development. Is even though it's not an access problem, is this a thing you're worried about in these urban areas where people aren't online?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the employment potential, obviously, these days, almost any job you're going to apply for, even a minimum wage job, it's easier or maybe only possible to apply online, but also getting kind of training, skills development. These are things that are offered by governments and private institutions as well. All that stuff is moving online. If you haven't got access to it, you know, you're hamstrung in many different kinds of employment opportunities.
If I don't have broadband infrastructure in a rural area, that's a logistics and infrastructure problem and solution, I guess. What's the solution? Is it a public relations outreach effort that is needed here?
Well, in the rural areas, as I say, there are indeed still parts of rural America that are not connected, that have no access to high-speed Internet. They have no option at all. Of course, there are also parts of America that still don't have indoor plumbing, a problem we've been working on a lot longer. So part of it is definitely some infrastructure investment, and that's, you know, being done by both private and public resources going at it. But yeah, if you have access and you don't make use of it, you may be missing the opportunity to, you know, smart farming for agriculture is a huge and a growing part, again, of the Internet of Things, where we'll start to get much more efficient use of land and resources, and even long-term for sustainability and better environmental uses. We want farmers, we want rural people to be connected, not only for their own good, but for the good of society.
But in the urban area where people have access but aren't online, what's the solution there? How do you get them, how do you invite them in?
Yeah, well, part of it, as you say, is a public relations problem. We need to make clearer to them just what the value is of being online, why it is relevant, what government services in particular are already available or will be soon available that would make their lives much more easy and much more convenient and save them time and save them extra trips to various offices. And I think, again, particularly we want to target the communities that are most at risk here. So seniors, understanding all the opportunities technology provides for aging in place, for less educated Americans, all the opportunities for improving their skills and for employment. These are the kinds of things that both public and private institutions need to do a much better job of educating on, as well as digital literacy. You know, one of the other main reasons that we saw in the surveys that show why people refuse available Internet is that they don't know how to use a computer. They don't even know how to use a tablet. They're certainly, you know, afraid of the sort of, you know, all the equipment that has to go in your house and work to get it going. So digital literacy is another big piece of it, and some of the ISPs that are offering low-cost Internet access to lower-income people do include digital literacy, low-cost devices, and so on as part of those programs.
A lot of our politics happens online these days. A lot of our public information access is online. Is there, as part of this digital divide, do you worry about a problem of democracy where people who aren't participating are locked out in some ways?
Yeah, I think that's another important issue. Obviously, you know, full participation in civic life, as we say, is increasingly an online activity, or at least partially an online activity. The folks who are not online, not connected, are definitely missing out on the conversation. And I think more to the point, we need to hear their voices as well. So, you know, if we don't hear from older people and the less educated and the poor in the conversation, we may not really be getting a full conversation about important public policy issues. So it's in everybody's best interest to get them online.
As we wrap up, Larry, do we have enough information to know what a trend is? Is this a problem that is slowly being solved, or are we stalled on this?
Well, we're making great progress on both the access and the affordability problems. We've seen that in the surveys and in the data over the last 20 years. But, in fact, the relevance problem is getting worse. So not surprisingly, as we have fewer and fewer people left who aren't connected, you know, they're pretty dug in. They're pretty determined not to be connected. And so, in fact, the number of people who cite relevance or need as the reason not to be connected is going up. It probably will continue to go up as the number of people itself gets smaller.
Larry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Larry Downs is a project director at the Georgetown Center for Business and Public Policy. He's the co-author of the book Pivot to the Future, Discovering Value and Creating Growth in a Disrupted World. He says it's primarily urban households, not rural ones, that are lacking internet service. And it's not because of access, but people choosing to stay offline.